Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Ulama Profile. With myself, Ubaidullah Boja, with the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are in the middle of the month of Sha'ban. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it suck that we are able to enter into the month of Ramadan with peace, afiyat, blessings, under the shade and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps the greatest lesson for us all, we don't know when is our time to leave this world. So it is very important that we are always prepared for our temporary journey, when we will leave this world into an everlasting world of the hereafter. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that each one of us, when we leave this world, we are happy with the decree of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with us as His servants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us. We profile one of the very senior ulama of our time, one of those ulama that lived with us for a very, very long time. We grew up in front of him. We know him for a very long time. He's very common to the airwaves of the radio. His books are very freely available. And that is our Hazrat Mufti Afzal Ilyas, rahmatullahi alayh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. If you knew Mufti Saab, if you interacted with him, or if you like to share anything with, please do send us a message. The number is 071-878-9748. And inshallah ta'ala, we would like to read it and we would like to share it with the listeners of Radio Islam International. I have with me this evening my colleague, my friend, someone I done hifz with together, the son-in-law of Mufti Saab, Hafiz Ahmad Afadji. Hafiz Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Marana, and to the listeners as well.
Jazakallah so much for taking out your time. Firstly, before we begin, from the side of the radio, the Jamiatul Ulama, condolences to the family, your mother-in-law, your family, obviously the others that are related. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all at the loss of Hazrat Mufti Afzal Saab, rahmatullahi alayhi.
Jazakallah khair, Abana.
Abizah, just starting from the very beginning, like we always do every week, a little bit or a brief, a family background to Hazrat Mufti Ilyas, rahmatullahi alayhi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Marana, firstly, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala guide us to correctly and accurately represent Hazrat Mufti Saab.
Ameen.
Inshallah, you know, a lot of the historical aspects that I was able to gather was surprisingly from an autobiography written in the handwriting of Mufti Afzal Saab. And a lot more detail is available about his childhood and growing up, etc., as an audio on his website, alislam.co.za. In any case, Maulana, just to go into a little bit of the family background, Mufti Saab was born in September 1955 in Escott, KwaZulu-Natal. That would make him 62 years and 7 months at the time of his mayat. He was obviously one of 5 brothers. There remained 3 brothers and 1 sister. He was married to the daughter of Janab Qasim Osman of Binoni. From their union, alhamdulillah, they had 4 daughters and 1 son.
Ji, alhamdulillah. Musa, tell me, in the very initial stages, Mufti Saab would thereafter do his madrasa or his initial studies in Escott?
His initial training was all in Escott. Alhamdulillah, before Mufti Saab went on to do Islamic studies, He had matriculated in 1973 in Escott, and before this as well, before the Alim training, he had accumulated quite a few diplomas, etc. Just to mention a few, he had a diploma in machine accounting, which he obtained in Durban. Thereafter, he also had a national certificate as an architectural draftsman, which he got in 1976. And then he also obtained a diploma from New Delhi in journalism. And thereafter, he went on to Deoband to complete his Alim training. This was in about 1983. Subsequently, he obtained a Mufti certificate in Deoband as well. This was 1984. Mufti Saab also then specialized in, he did a specialist course, basically in Tafsir, under Maulana Ghulamullah Khan of Pakistan. Mohsin Sahab was, you know, from our little bit of interaction with him, he kept on mentioning he was quite fond of, and his ustad was also fond of him. He was a senior student of Mufti Sayyid Ahmad Paranpuri of Deoband, who was, inshallah, visiting our country very soon.
Gee, definitely. Respected listeners, we are speaking with regards to the life of Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Ilyas, rahmatullahi alayh. And if anyone wants to interact with us, the number is 071-878-9748. You can send us our your messages, and obviously from there, inshallah ta'ala, we could then obviously read it on air or share it with you. A message coming in, it's written, Mufti Ilyas, last WhatsApp message that he sent me, and this comes from our colleague Maulana Ashraf Dokra. He says, centenary gathering of Darul Ulum Dioban, Mabul Hassan Nadwi writes that Deobandiyati is the name of four qualities, which if not present in a person, he cannot be called a Deobandi. The firmness in belief, to be fair, just, or moderate in differences, hone firmly onto the sunnah, and total reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Morana is our note, belief as per the sunnah to Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Number two, refer to the legitimate fiqh differences. And thereafter, Morana writes, tawakkul in aqaid, ibadat, and akhlaq, and mu'amalat, mu'asharat, and governance. The history of the ulama bears testimony to the above, with that exposition who is not a Deobandi. And that comes from Morana Ashraf Dokrat from Lodium. So if any of the listeners want to interact, and any of the listeners want to share any of the experiences with Mufti Saab, please feel free to do so. Abiz Ahmed, once Mufti Saab returned back from Deoband, probably around 1970 or so?
His Mufti course was completed in 1984. I presume it was a little after that, Chief.
Chief. So when he returned, where did he come after that, Morana?
You know, Maulana Mufti Saab has touched so many people in so many different ways. And in these few days after his mayat, many people have told us how they actually got in touch with Mufti Saab and how he touched their lives, you know, in different ways. Initially, you know, Mufti Saab had basically taught in the maktab. This was in both in Escort as well as in Binoni. This was obviously a very grassroots level education. And this, he would have touched the lives of many children at that stage, who would now be obviously in the adulthood. At that time, you know, while living in Binoni, I remember him traveling to Pretoria. He was also an assistant lecturer there at UNISA, in the Islamic Studies Department. Most people would remember Mufti Saab for his kitab work. And among those, I mean, he fulfilled the role of an author. He was also a translator. And then also an editor, you know, so at all levels of publication, Mufti Saab was involved. And, you know, just after Mufti Saab's diagnosis, this is about 6 months ago, you know, he had mentioned to us in a small gathering that in total his kitab work, his pamphlets, etc., had amounted to a whopping 950 works.
SubhanAllah.
So, I accept all of it, inshallah.
Amin, inshallah. I want to touch on one aspect before we delve too much into the aspect of his authors and what he's done. And there is a little bit about his maktab. I remember very well, between himself and Maulana Qasim Ali Rahmatullah Alayhi, I think one left and the other took over the class, if I remember correctly. They were at the BMJ. And I remember very vaguely, because I was very young at the time, I would go with my father. So I would like to touch a little bit on that and the amount of his students that benefited while he was at the grassroots maktab level. It's just amazing, and some of them till today carry that knowledge and that teaching and that mentoring till then, and perhaps something that he touched so many people that probably worthy of some sort of bringing out to the listeners of Radio Islam this evening.
Gee. Maulana, you know, we were at Madrasa at the same time, alhamdulillah. And I remember Mufti Saab as well in the Binoni Muslim Jamaat Maktab. You know, he would take us for something called a Jinyat Practica. And, you know, on more than one occasion, he would open the floor and ask students, I mean, at our young, sort of immature ages, to ask him any question we needed answered. And Christians would come from all quarters and on all topics, but Mufti Saab would navigate those topics so diligently and so effectively, and students would remember that till today, Mufti.
No, most definitely so. In fact, the Q&A that happens on the different radio stations and the Q&A that happens, one of the driving forces, or one of those people that started it, would be Mufti Afzal Saab from the very initial stages. In fact, when he would go out and he would be touring and lecturing different countries, he would already at that time, years ago, tell the people, what is the question that you have? Ask me your question. And he would then diligently, obviously, answer it. Coming to the other aspect of obviously his works of authoring, etc., from pamphlets of very simple ones to very major books and done the tafsir of the Quran al-Kareem, etc., is it perhaps that you could probably tell us some of the books that he's authored over the years?
You know, Maulana Mufti Saab has touched on almost every topic. I mean, I am not an alim. But alhamdulillah, you know, in our limited knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has given us, Mufti Saab has written on almost every topic one can think of. I mean, just off the top of my head, I know he has authored books on Salat, on Zakat, on Hajj, on fasting, on, the Quran itself. I mean, Maulana mentioned one of the most notable works was the Anwarul Bayan, you know, the tafsir of Quran. And I think in the English translation, it's translated Illuminating Discourses of the Noble Quran by Mufti Ashiq Ilahi. And this is a 10-volume work, of each volume being about 500 pages. And Mufti Saab had been sort of instrumental in getting this work completed. Another very very prominent work is the Quran Made Easy. It's a very simple and easy translation. And alhamdulillah, we ourselves, on numerous occasions, especially now coming towards the month of Ramadan, you know, prior to the night's Taraweeh, we would read the English version of what was going to be recited in the evening. And this, you know, brought a whole lot of more spirituality to our Taraweeh Salah and even our Quran recitation. So alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab has authored, I mean, some of his books have even been converted into Braille, where, you know, blind people are able to read, so to say, read his books, you know. So alhamdulillah,
One of the other things that I know is also very useful that he has offered is he's given a summary of the Taraweeh so that those that are going to be reading that night can have an understanding of what is going to be read in Taraweeh. Also, one notable of his is a translation of the Hayatul Sahaba. I know many, many people have used it. He's done an amazing job in the translation of the Hayatul Sahaba. And also, obviously, there's many, many other aspects with regards to the life of Mufti Afzal Ilyas rahmatullahi alayh. I want to touch another aspect before we go for an ad break, and that is Mufti Saab's services to the Jummah Khutbah. I know one thing that he would always be very diligent about, and that is every Friday looking for a venue to be able to speak and spread the knowledge of Islam in the different Jummah venues. And in particular in Kempton Park, Mawla Abdul Aziz Lahey, Uncle Saliba and them there, in that Kempton Park area, there's three ulama that have set weeks for Jummah. So the first week would be my Mufti Afzal Ilyas, the second week would be Mufti Ali Lorgat, the third week would be my father. And with that, they would be going for Jummahs to these venues, I think over 31 or 34 years. They lecturing at the same venue diligently almost every month on their respective week. So Mufti Ilyas, Mufti Ali, Mufti Boja, the three of them, Allah bless the two that are alive, grant them good life and long health. And obviously Mufti Saab passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. But he would diligently go every Friday, to the extent that when he had moved to Durban, he would fly for the Jummah, and after the Bayan, the day or the next day, he would fly back, but he would still uphold the practice of coming to give the Jummah khutbah, the Jummah lecture in Kempton Park. What I want to do now, before we take a quick air break, we're going to ask Mohammed Salim, our engineer, let's listen to a clip of Mufti Ilyas rahmatullahi alayh, and thereafter, inshallah, we shall carry on with our show.
الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام الصيام جند الصدقة برهان الصلاة نور أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy deen to follow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity for witnessing the month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the last 10 days on the odd nights Laylatul Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months. What I would like to discuss is concerning fasting and the fasting of the previous ummahs, the mode of fasting and the concept and institute of fasting was from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. According to the Mufassireen, the scholars of Islam, they say that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, some say he should fast the 3 white days. Others say that he should fast 9 days a month, meaning 3 days in the starting, 3 days in the middle, and 3 days at the end. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, during his time, the institute of fasting was they should fast 1 day and the next day no fasting, then the subsequent day fasting. Basically every alternative day there was fasting.
You're listening to Ulama Profiles on Radio Islam International.
Salam Marana, Mufti Saab was dedicated to the Musalla in Kempton Park. Surprisingly, his last Juma, which he rendered, was at the very Musalla. The Kempton Park Musalla was also one of the first to give Mufti Saab the platform. Alhamdulillah, many benefited for about 31 years. And Mufti Saab was like family to us. Musallis, locals as well as foreigners would wait for Mufti Saab's turn. Every Juma, there would be questions and interaction with him. Mufti Saab was never too busy, nor in a rush to turn anyone away. Many a Juma, we would have a revert to Islam with Mufti Saab's assistance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him maghfirah and jannatul firdaus. That comes from the Lahey family of Kempton Park. We have now on the line with us Maulana Ahmed Muhammadi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I think we're just still getting hold of Maulana. And another message coming up. Assalamu alaikum. Growing up with Mufti Saab and the family in Escort, all I can say, Mufti Saab and them had a difficult life growing up. Alhamdulillah, each brother became successful in the latter years of their life. Allah grant him and his parents and his marhum siblings Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. This is a legacy that will remain for generations to come. For every step that is taken on the walking Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases his stage in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. It is saying tomorrow will be in Mufti Saab's turn in Kempton Park. Allah knows best. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got better plans for Mufti Saab in the future where Mufti Saab is. We have Maulana Ahmed Muhammadi on the line. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for taking out your Thursday evening and spending some time with us in the company of our elders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and make it easy for each one of us, insha'Allah ta'ala.
Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen.
Maulana Mufti Saab, Mufti Afzal Ilyas, spent several times with you being part of the Jamiatul Ulama in the KZN area for the last few years. What are some of your interactions and some of the services that Hazrat rendered in the Durban area, Mufti Maulana?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the listeners of Radio Islam International. Mufti Saab was basically an institution in himself. In one line, I think this sums up his life. And one can never really appreciate his contribution to the Deen of Islam. It's absolutely amazing. And we were very fortunate that Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyasab, Rahmatullahi Alayh, came back to his roots in KwaZulu-Natal. And we were very fortunate to become very close to him in the last years of his life. And we really got to know him well, the person behind all those books. As children, we were reading those translations on different subjects that has been mentioned by the earlier speaker. And those kitabs on those little kitabs on different various subjects. And that person now became the real person, that author became the real person in our midst and in our company.
Maulana, he was there with you all for probably the last 5 years of his life, and probably the better part of, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that he left this world also in your area. What are some of the services that he rendered within the area of Durban?
Mufti Saab was basically like an ever-ready battery, ever-ready to serve. As far as the Jamiatul Ulama KwaZulu-Natal, it is quite incidental that he was born the year the Jamiatul Ulama was formed in 1955.
SubhanAllah.
And he was as old as the Jamiatul Ulama, or rather the other way around. What's also very significant is that Maulana Yunus Fakir Rahmatullah Ali enjoyed a very close relationship with the Ilyas family in Escort. As that Maulana Yunus Fakir Rahmatullah Ali, when he left Moy River, he moved to Escort, and he used to live very close to the Ilyas family. So while speaking to his brothers last few days ago, they mentioned that they had a very close relationship with Maulana Yunus Patel and his family, and his children as well used to be in and out of their homes as well. And Maulana had a significant impact on the family. And Mufti Saab was actually influenced by when he attended an ijtima in Pietermaritzburg as a young man. He was very, very influenced in that ijtima to become an alim. And he had made up his mind to become an alim. When he went back with this new sort of zest to become an alim, then his parents insisted that he get some secular knowledge prior to leaving for the Deoband. And I heard him, he mentioned to us once, you know, in one of our meetings, that he's a qualified architectural draftsman, a qualified at the Emil Sultan College in Durban. I think that has also been mentioned previously. Nonetheless, what's very significant is that Mufti Saab was sent by the president of the Jamiatul Ulama then, Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji Rahmatullah Ali, to Deoband. And Maulana Umarji Rahmatullah Ali arranged the sponsoring of his ticket and even his expenses initially when he left for Deoband. As far as his contribution in KwaZulu-Natal, I think it was the same throughout his life. And he was very, very particular about his Jummah Bayan and his Jummah program for the week. In fact, he never ever missed a Jummah program or a Bayan. He was always wanting to give Jummah talks, different lectures, even to travel to remote areas, distant areas, and alhamdulillah, he was ever ready to do that. It's something very important that just 3 weeks before he passed away, 4 weeks before, he was in Kempton Park. And the last bayan he gave, I think that was the one in Kempton Park. That was on the 6th of April, approximately 3 weeks before he passed away. The week prior to that, he was in the Avondale Musalla on the 30th of March, where he delivered his last Jummah bayan in Durban. I happened to be giving the Jummah talk in the Avondale Jamaat Khana on the last Jummah of Mufti Sahab's life. And I only noticed at the end of the Jummah program, and I was leaving the masjid, that Mufti Sahab was sitting at the back. And I felt quite embarrassed that a senior person like him was sitting in the gathering, and it was not known to me that he was there at that time. But alhamdulillah, even despite that, it was a few days before he passed away. And I told Mufti Sahab that, do correct me if I've made any mistakes, and you are free to make my islah, you are my senior. So he just smiled. In all the years working with Mufti Sahab in the last few years, I never ever saw him angry on any occasion. And even if there was something intricate or difficult or complex to maneuver, Mufti Sahab will always be very calm in his demeanor, very, very calculated with his words, and very wise counsel always, alhamdulillah. A person that we will sorely miss in our mashuras, a person whose absence will really be felt in time to come.
Mohana, jazakallah so much for your time this evening. It was really a good experience for you all. And obviously may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a ni'am al-badal, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a replacement for the services that Mufti Sahab was rendering. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the Jamiatul Ulama case and from strength to strength.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Another message. Alhamdulillah, had the opportunity to perform all our Hajj with Mufti Sahab and his family. Walking Hajj was no easy for South Africans in the earlier years, but alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahab and his family made it easy, and they were accommodating. Like the saying goes, you will know a person when you make safar. Alhamdulillah, we only seen good in Mufti Sahab. Abiz Ahmad, coming back to you and some of the interactions, probably now on a personal level, how was Mufti Sahab when he was at home, away from the formalities of being out in the world and lecturing and touring and meeting people? What was his demeanor with the family when he was at home, Abiz Ahmad?
Jee, Manana, you know, on this topic, I mean, there's so much. I mean, I don't think I can exhaust all Mufti Sahab's qualities on this topic. Just to mention there, Maulana, you know, one remarkable thing about Mufti Sahab is so many people had made Hajj with him. I mean, I think at times they were carrying 2,000 plus people on the walking Hajj with Mufti Sahab as the guide and leader, you know. But in all Mufti Sahab's life, in the time I've known him, he's never ever mentioned the count or how many times he's made Hajj. And even that, I had to establish from his family how many Hajj did Mufti Sahab make. So this is a lesson for us as well, you know. Ultimately, it's about acceptance and not about numbers and etc. Those are not important. Just coming to your question, Maulana, about interaction with his family. You know, Mufti Sahab was a very, very, very easygoing person. He never made things difficult, and he always, if you listen to that clip that we played earlier, in every single bayan, Mufti Sahab would start and say, "Deen is easy." You know, and he loved that. He loved that with his family. He never imposed deen on anybody. He basically led by example, and people would want to follow his example, you know. So he regularly laughed and joked with his family. I would hear in the house, you know, laughing and joking. He was very easygoing with his family. And, you know, I think he spent so much time with his family, even on occasions when, like Maulana mentioned, he would fly into Johannesburg for Jummah and then fly back home in the evening. So he would arrive home in sort of the late hours or early hours of the morning as well. But still, he would sit down, make time, sit with his family, have a cup of tea, narrate his day. You know, and this did a whole lot. You know, it did a world of good for him and his family. And they united themselves and they became one solid unit. It was impenetrable. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Message coming in. Assalamu alaikum, ulama. My name is Maulana Munir from Harari. I would like to say that we are indeed grateful to Allah Ta'ala for every trip Mufti Sahab made to Harare, Zimbabwe. Having worked for him for many years, I have to say, I did not meet a more calm, simple and compassionate alim than Mufti Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh. His loss has hurt us greatly, an irredeemable loss indeed. It is in Allah's decision, so patient we must be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Mufti Sahab Jannatul Firdaus. An incident Mufti Sahab shared with us was that at some stage he needed a very rare kitab from an alim in Heidelberg. He requested from the alim and was told, "I will share with you provided you give the Jummah in the community." Mufti Sahab's zeal was such, he accepted, and in the ending that kitab was translated as well, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Mufti Saab. I remember Mufti Saab at many a times, one day we were sitting and we were discussing some of Mufti Saab's translations that he had done. And he told me, you know, Mufti Saab had this very simple way of saying, say, amen, you know, I'm looking for that one kitab. You know, in that very simple method of his in discoursing. And obviously that was Mufti Saab's easy going and Mufti Saab's way was adopting people around him, and especially those that knew him. You could engage him when you wanted to, and if you picked up the phone and you said Mufti Saab, and he would do that. Another aspect of his life that I think is important for us is his fatwa that he wrote. But his fatwa was a bit different in a sense. It was kept very simple and kept very basic. So if you asked him regarding something, he would tell you yes or no, permissible or impermissible, and he would not delve into too much of detail, making it easy for the questionnaire to be able to just know what to do. So if a person asks Mufti Saab, is this permissible or not, without going into an extensive research or explanation, he would say yes, permissible, no, not permissible. Or you ask four things, the first one permissible, the second one not permissible, and accordingly he would answer the question that the person would pose to him. And obviously that was some of Mufti Saab's ways of him. And his website is well uploaded, the content matter is there, and there's much that we can learn from. So if anyone does want to learn, you may just refer to the website, and inshallah ta'ala, you would be able to get information from there. Abiz Ahmad, is there anything else that you can share with the listeners of Radio Islam?
Maulana, I know just a few salient things that stand out in Mufti Saab's life that may not have been known to people, but Alhamdulillah, inshallah, we can use this as lessons for us going forward, you know. One thing, you know, Mufti Saab was always in the state of wudu. I remember traveling and, you know, it is on very, very rare occasion that Mufti Saab would need to make wudu at a masjid. In fact, locally, in the time that we spent together in Johannesburg and in Durban, I don't remember a single occasion where Mufti Saab had to make wudu at the masjid. So he was always in the state of wudu. Just to narrate one incident, one morning I arrived at his house to have some tea or something, and I had sat down, the tea was ready, and you know, I was waiting for Mufti Saab. So his family came and said, Mufti Saab is awake, he's just making wudu first, and then he'll join you for tea. So he would always be in a state of wudu. Another nice thing, you know, Mufti Saab always mentioned, whenever we would go on vacation, I would tell him, Mufti Saab, why don't you take a bit of a rest, or, you know, take it easy. And, you know, he would carry his work on vacation as well. His kitabs would go with him, he would do his editing, his translation, etc., even on vacation, even if it be an hour for the day, but he would do some work. And he would repeatedly say, rest is for the grave. So that's where we rest, you know. Another important thing that comes to mind is, you know, Mufti Saab never got involved in any debt. He was never in debt up to the last day. And his family narrates one incident where soon after they were married and he had a house, I think he had some sheets or some cloth, you know, hung over the windows. And even his family had come and told him, you know, you can't keep a wife like this. You must put nice curtains or something in the house. And some well wishers from the community sent some material. It was sewn up. It was sort of ready to be hung. And his family were in the process of putting up the curtains. And Mufti Saab had mentioned, we haven't paid for this. We can't use it. So those were left behind until it was paid for. So in this way, you know, Mufti Saab never incurred any debt. He was never involved in any interest dealings. So everything was clear and above board, alhamdulillah. And then just another beautiful thing that comes to mind, I mean, a lesson for me as well, is, you know, Mufti Saab was always very, very punctual. If he said a specific time, he would be ready at that time. And we would always go out at the time specified. And remarkably, even if other people delayed him, if he had set a time and other people delayed him, he would be full of stubborn and would not make an issue of it, you know. And he himself was always punctual. So, alhamdulillah, and just now so many things are coming to mind, Maulana, sorry, I'm going on.
No,
here.
Please do carry on. Please, it's for the benefit, you know, of the listeners.
Another thing is, you know, Mufti Saab had endured many, many ailments throughout his life. And alhamdulillah, you know, even the cancer that was diagnosed about 6 months ago,
Jeez.
He took it on bravely. He was never ashamed or secretive of the diagnosis. He never hid it. And he was very, very diligent in complying with treatment fully. His opinion was that, you know, I understand kitabs and I understand books and Quran and hadith, but a doctor, for that matter, understands his, you know, sort of his field. And I can't dabble in a doctor's field. So if a doctor has given me this advice, I will comply with the advice fully. And two muftisabs last day, I mean, he was still taking the treatment that the doctors had prescribed. So, alhamdulillah, he was very brave in that sense.
I remember, you know, Abdulaziz Lahia, one day we visited him, and he just had spoken to Mufti Saab, and he said that Mufti Ilyas just finished editing a 600-page book that was obviously probably going for print or whatever else it was. We have on the line with us Brother Ismail Hafiji, the father of Hafiz Ahmed Hafiji. Brother Ismail, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's such a pleasure and such an honor and such a privilege to talk about Mufti Saab, because he's a very associate and a very close colleague of our family. The families have gone very closely together, alhamdulillah. I've had a great pleasure, Mustafa, of attending his nikah many, many, many years ago. And that nikah was a very simple nikah. It was a house function. I remember the meal was at home, very small function. And I remember that meal very well. In fact, I just spoke to his father-in-law last week about that nikah, because you remember the details. And I said the meal was very simple too. And I think Mufti Saab was that kind of person. He had it started very, very simply. And alhamdulillah. And you know, one of the other fond memories that come about him was his walking. I had the great pleasure of walking with him in 1997, in the famous year of the fire at Mina. And I saw the qualities of his leadership and planning at that time, because he had to make this big decision of what to do with this large contingent of people. Do we stay in Mina or do we go back? And alhamdulillah, he's been phenomenal in that respect, alhamdulillah. Allah reward him immensely, and we will be missing the giant of a man. In his own words of you, my last contact with him was about a month back when he was in Johannesburg. And at that time, he told me clearly that I have been an author and a thinker and a writer all my life. This is what Mufti Saab is about. He had great respect for the maktab and teaching fraternity and so forth, but I think his lifestyle was thinking, writing, and so forth. And that is why the Q&A programs took so much interest. He opened a whole vista of Q&As with the different radio programs and so forth.
Uncle Ismail, you knew him probably better than us, especially in the earlier days. We know Mufti Saab, obviously, in the latter part of his life, we being the younger ones. Is there something amazing or unique that you could share with the listeners regarding some of his services or characteristics, especially in the earlier days once he returned and he started teaching at the BMJ?
Yes. In his very early years, I remember very, very clearly in Benoni when he was at the Mukta Bay. In the earlier years, he was still wearing the long sherwani. Remember the ulama used to wear?
I remember that very well now that you bring it up.
Yes. I remember him very clearly with the sherwani on his wedding day, even subsequently at the madrasa as well. So he worked with that and he lived that kind of life. Of course, subsequently, of course, times changed, but he was always very well attired, very well groomed. His clothing was all very clean and very neatly pressed and so forth. So yeah, this remarkable quality in that respect. And my relationship with him go back that far, almost 40 years ago, and he was still quite a young man and a very vibrant in his talk. But I think he was beyond the maktab all the time. He was really that personality that was going to do much more work than maktab work, and maybe to influence the maktab in a different way, yes, indeed. But I think he was going to take it much, much at a different level. And the kind of work he finally did go into is a whole strata and a layer of work that has been a new vista opened up. This whole issue of translating monumental works, and for an alim of his caliber to even touch Quran and do Quran is easy. I think it's a phenomenal feat. He deserves a great reward for that.
No, definitely. Jazakallah so much for your time this evening, and Krismail, much appreciated.
Alhamdulillah. Allah reward you.
Amen, inshallah. A message from our engineers, Muhammad Bilal, says, I was fortunate to work closely with Mufti Saab around the year 2007-2008. Mufti Saab gave me the opportunity to convert most, if not all, of his lectures from cassette to electronic format. Mufti Saab back then already had the desire to upload and share his talks freely on the internet as well as on MP3 CDs. In the time I spent with Marhum Mufti Saab, he always displayed kindness, patience, and extreme generosity. May Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. We have lost the great alim. definitely Muhammad Bilal. We have lost a giant of an alim. Abu Ahmed, we have a few minutes left, and I just want to take, maybe come to the last few aspects. In the last few months, obviously Mufti Sahab had taken ill. You want to take us through maybe the last 3-4 months of his life, and obviously when he passed away, Abisa?
Mufti Sahab was diagnosed with liver cancer in October last year. It's almost 6 months to the date of his mayat. But you know, in that stage, when we had visited him in hospital after receiving the diagnosis, he was more positive than his visitors. He would tell us his visitors would come and greet him like it was the last time they were seeing him. But he was very, very positive, and he continued in all those months, from October last year up to, as Maulana Muhammadi had mentioned, for the last 5.5, well, almost to the last day, he would still continue his translating, editing, his Jummah bayans continued. He would continue his Q&As on the radios, his travel, etc. He continued living as normal. And he believed not giving up, you know. And he went right through. It was literally the last 3 or 4 days of his life where he was now quite ill and needed assistance. But alhamdulillah, up to that stage, his mind was completely clear. He remembered people. He remembered the names. He remembered work. In fact, even in his last days, he would tell me what's the plan of his treatment now. His doctors are intending to do this and they're intending to do that. But he was clear-minded right to the end. And alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala accept that from him and accept his bravery and courage throughout this severe illness. He went through quite a bit of side effects smilingly without any difficulty. And, he would always not even complain about side effects. He would go through with medication diligently. And, his family, each one of them, contributed so much to his...
Abiz Ahmed?
Si.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. We just take a message, give Abiz Ahmed a little bit of time. Another incident, Mufti Sahab had a particular pattern of reading a certain amount per day. At times when Mufti Sahab was in Garden City for an ear procedure, the late hours of the night he would be reading. The nurses would remark, you should rest. But they were amazed at his habit of not giving up until what needed to be read and what Mufti Sahab set out to do. Really, truly a great loss for each one of us. Mufti Sahab was a giant in his own right. He authored so many books, he wrote so much, he translated so much. Our condolences go out to the family of Hafiz Ahmed, his wife, the other siblings of Mufti Sahab, Mufti Sahab's family as well, the nephews, nieces, etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of them the steadfastness to be able to withhold the colossal loss that they're experiencing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make it such that from amongst the family there are people that will follow in the steps of Mufti Sahab, Mufti Sahab's son, Mufti Sahab's other family members that are there. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that they were able to benefit the whole ummah from the writings of Mufti Sahab. A great portion of the library that I have at home, his kitab dedicated, that was written by Mufti Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi. So this is the legacy that we leave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the family as well. Abiz Ahmed, jazakallah so much for your time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you and the family and the greater ummah at large also, inshallah.
Jazakallah marana, jazakallah
khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That was Abiz Ahmed Yasaji, a friend of ours, studied together in Hibs as well. He's the son-in-law of Mufti Sahab, and obviously spending many a times being a doctor as well. Mufti Sahab would consult with him, being very alert of what's happening. And despite the illnesses and all of those things, Mufti Sahab obviously at long time, Mufti Sahab had one assertive character of his. If he understood something to be in a particular way, he would articulate it in that way. And you could engage him and you could discuss with him and you could differ with him. But yet Mufti Sahab was such that he had, you know, in the same Arabic, wasat al-qalbi. He had the vastness of the chest and the bosom to be able to carry on in the services of deen. Maulana Ahmad Muhammad is saying that he was honored to have led the janazah of Hazrat Mufti Sahab, spending some time before Mufti Sahab passed away Mufti Saab was mentally very, very alert despite the illnesses, etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all. Just to recap some of the things that we had discussed. One aspect was Mufti Saab was always in wudu. Even in the early part of the morning, he would keep with wudu. And very seldom you would find Mufti Saab going and using the wudu facilities at the masjid. And obviously we have to learn that the wudu facilities are at the masjid. It's for emergency or it's for the musafir that are traveling. We should try and always make wudu at home and carry on. Also, Mufti Saab's habit, if he had to a particular amount that he had to read daily, he would not sleep until that amount was read, and he would not rest until that portion that he needed to read was done. Mufti Saab would take some of his work with him, even when he was on vacation, so that work that needed to be completed was completed. Mufti Saab was such that along with pamphlets, posters, kitabs, etc., the amount of articles, posters, books that were written, translated, published, etc., was over 950. So you can just imagine, just if 10 people benefited from each publication, over 9,500 people benefited just from the publications of Mufti Saab. And obviously the consistency of Mufti Saab, he spoke in the Kempton Park Musalla for the better part of 31 years, one Jummah a month. And if he was on journey, or if he was not available, then he would always say, you know what, I want to come back, or I want to take another turn, or during the course of the month, he would like to make qada of the Jummah, if you may call it so, so that at least that the Jummah was never missed. In fact, sometimes Mufti Saab, if he had to be discussing something with somebody, or he had to be mediating between two people, there was a time whereby a very good friend of his, he mediated against his friend. And this only strengthened their bond. So the person was asked why. He said that if a person can mediate against me and I'm his friend, that means that person is standing up for truth. And in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to be able to stand up for what is right and to be able to make an indelible impression in the lives of those people that we are interacting with. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the family. Forgive Mufti Saab for his shortcomings. Grant him the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Bless him tremendously for all the service that he had done. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a very special place in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, until next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.